thank you, Brother Marty. I thoroughly enjoyed that message. New Testament worship is exactly what we should be doing. Pure, simple worship. Singing, preaching, praying. I'm glad to be here today. My mind has been on visiting with the Union Primitive Baptist Church for a while. It's been a busy year for me from a personal standpoint, professional standpoint. And I'm thankful for the fellowship that I've gained. I've met Brother Marty and Brother Randall and so many of the brethren around the area. It's been very edifying to me. Just as a child of God, and just to have all of you all here, it's been a very blessed 2024. This message today, I'm not going to hold you long. I want to try to be as short as possible, but it's been on my mind for the past few weeks as I preached to my congregation about the new year, about coming up to the new year. And you know, I love this time of year because everybody seems to have just a rosy outlook for the new year, and as it should be. I mean, we're all children of God, and our faith is in Him to continue to carry us and hold us in His everlasting hands. 2024 has been some might say a difficult year. It's been a year full of events. I won't say it's been any more difficult than any other years that we've had. You know, we've had the pandemic years and had years after that. But in 2024, you know, we've had things such as wars, and, you know, Russia and Ukraine are still fighting. We had the Israel-Hamas conflict, and we've had, hurricanes, and we've had election that already divided a nation that was already divided. So there's been so many things that has happened in 2024, and but like I said, it isn't different from any other year. Every year carries its good things, and every year carries its trials and its tribulations. And often during this time of year, people have a tendency to look toward the new year, and I know it's a thing now to have New Year's resolutions. How am I going to be better in the new year? The thing that kind of makes me laugh all the time is when you turn on the TV and you hear the pundits, the smart people that always try to predict what the new year is going to bring. You know, here's my 10 predictions for 2025. Well, if you go back and look at most of those, most of them didn't come to pass, because no one knows the future is safe for our Lord and Savior. But as I thought on this text, as I studied, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, how we should live as children of God in the new year. Not necessarily about New Year's resolutions, how we can improve. I guess we can say that this is part of a sermon like this, but no, how should we live? What does the Bible, what does the Word of God say about how we should live each and every day of not just the new year, but each and every day of our lives? And so there are many different scriptures that I could pull from. I wanted to just start off from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read just three verses, and this is Paul. He's talking to the church at Corinth, but I want to talk about several scriptures. But Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at the 11th verse, he says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory in, on our behalf, that ye may be somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. So Paul kind of lays out in these scriptures, you know, how we should live as we go into the new year, or how we should live each and every day as children of God. You know, one of the first things Paul says here is we should know the terror of God. And I would put before you today that we should have a healthy fear of God. Too many Christians now don't have a healthy fear of God. I'm not talking about being afraid of God as you would be afraid of someone that's breaking in your home, meaning to do you and your family harm, or afraid of a wild animal that's coming out of the woods to attack you. No, I'm talking about having an awe, a reference, a reverence for God as to how good that he has been to us. We need to put that in our Christians' lives as a matter of perspective. Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We should have a healthy fear of the Lord, because the word tells us that that is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
So many times I tell my church, I said, you know, I didn't become wise until I realized that God is leading my footsteps, and that he is watching over me, knows everything that I do, and that there are going to be consequences for those things that I do. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. King Solomon, wisest man to ever live, God blessed him with all manner of riches and wisdom, and he had access to anything that his heart desired. But after going through all of the things and gathering all of the things that his riches brought him, that his wisdom brought him, at the very end of this book, he said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Yeah. I bought everything I needed. I enjoyed everything that I could enjoy. I've done everything that a man could physically want to do on earth. But at the end of the day, I realized that I had to fear God. Amen. That this is the conclusion of the whole matter, and I had to keep his commandments. Yeah. And this was the only thing that brought me joy, yeah, as a child of God, for this is the whole duty of man. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be ye not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Having a fear of the Lord in your life, having that awe, having that reverence, knowing how good God has been to you, leads and guides our footsteps, knowing that whatsoever we sow, that shall we reap. If we sow into the flesh, we're going to reap of the flesh. If we sow into the spirit, we'll reap of the spirit. Paul here says, knowing therefore the terror of God, knowing I have the fear of God, that is what helps me to be able to persuade you, men, that we are made manifest in the God, and I trust that we are made manifest in our consciences. Paul knew that God had brought him from a mighty long way. He knew the things that he had done and where God had brought him from. And because of God's grace and mercy, he was who he was. He realized the great gift that God had gave him. And that came from him having a healthy fear of the Lord. Not only should we have a fear of the Lord, but we should live transparently. And we should have love in our hearts. The thing I loved about Paul is his life was an open book after his conversion.
Yeah,
yeah. Paul didn't mind telling anyone the things that he had done. Surely there are a lot of things in our life that we want to keep to ourselves, and rightfully so. I'm not saying that everyone should go out and just lay bare all of your life secrets, but Paul was transparent about his past. Sometimes as people, we can kind of define ourselves by the roles that we have. You know, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a mother, a sister, a brother, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer. Our careers kind of they define us. But Paul knew that his identity lied in Christ.
Amen.
He knew that because of Christ, he was who he was. Let's look at some scriptures. In Galatians, it says in 3, verse 26, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Ephesians 2 and 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." Acts 17 and 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Paul knew that his identity lied in Christ.
Yes.
And the root of it all, Paul was a man. He was in Christ. Christ changed everything about him. He knew what God had done for him. He knew that the great gift that he had received from God was precious. He didn't deserve it, you know. And as a result of that, he knew what God had done for him. In 1 Corinthians 15 to 10, Paul says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was within me." Paul labored because of the gift that God gave him. Paul was content. He was happy in the fact that he was who he was, and his life was transparent. In Philippians 4, 11 and 13, he talks about how he is happy in whatsoever state that he's in. He mentioned that he both knows how to be abased and how to abound, and he's instructed to be both full and hungry, and to abound and to suffer need. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me."
Yeah.
He was rooted and grounded in Christ, and his life was laid bare and transparent. When he stood before King Agrippa, he didn't mind telling King Agrippa everything that he had done, even as he stood by consenting to the death of Stephen, even as he went out about looking for Christians to persecute and put in jail. Those things Paul was not proud of. He even said in the scripture, "I'm the least of the apostles." But he knew the great gift that God had gave him through salvation, that he chose his people in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And he knew that because of that, he had a duty, if you will, to go out and preach Christ. Amen. Lastly, we should live unapologetically. You know, I think the world, I'll just say it like this. One of the main issues I have with some of the churches in the world is, and why I love what the Primitive Baptist, why I am Primitive Baptist, is they try to be all things to all people. They don't want to step on anyone's toes. We don't want to say anything to offend this group. We don't want to say anything to offend this group. We don't want to do certain things because that's not politically correct. But the word is the word.
Amen.
And I feel that as we go into the new year, we should live unapologetically. 1 Corinthians 5 and 13, Paul says, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause." People thought that Paul was out of his mind. He didn't hide his zeal for God. He didn't hide his zeal for the word of God and what Christ had done, and the fact that Christ died for us, and the only way you can have salvation is through your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Couldn't come by works. It couldn't come by anything else. It was through Jesus Christ, and he didn't hide that fact. After giving his testimony to Festus, Paul was in the middle of his testimony, and over in Acts 26 and 24, Festus interrupted him and said, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside yourself. Much learning doth make thee mad." Yeah. One thing about the word is, if you give it unadulterated like it is to the world, there are going to be some people that are going to think you're mad. They're going to think you're crazy. And there are going to be some people that will hear the word and will take it in. But Paul wasn't worried about what his critics thought about him. He wasn't worried about whether or not I'm going to make certain groups mad or whether or not I'm going to do what the rest of society is doing. He didn't apologize for his zeal to preach Jesus. He didn't apologize for his beliefs. And to all of the churches today, to all of the children of God today, I would say we need to stand firm on what we believe. We need to be unapologetic about the word of God. We believe that God chose his people in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. We believe in original sin and that man can't recover himself from the fallen state that he's in. We believe that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to God except through Christ. We believe those things, and those are things that we should not be apologetic for. We believe that the Bible is the word of God, and we believe that God has set the boundaries of what's acceptable. Acceptable conduct, what's in the world. There are some things that are not acceptable that the world want to glaze over, and I don't want to offend anyone per se, but I believe in those things. I believe that marriage is man and woman. Amen. I believe that killing an unborn child is wrong. Amen. I believe in those things, and those are the things that we should be unapologetic for because we're standing on the word of God. Yes. If people are offended, then that's okay. Not saying to go out and purposely try to offend someone, but what I'm saying is stand on the word of God. As we go into the new year, any year, as we live our lives, we need to have a healthy fear of God. We need to be transparent. We need to have love in our heart, love for our neighbor. Jesus said, loving your neighbor, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. We need to be unapologetic for who we are. And Paul was that. When he stood before Agrippa, he was able to tell Agrippa how good God had been to him. He was able to stand before him and tell him how God knocked him off of his high horse on the road down to Damascus, and how his eyes was blinded, but when he had hands laid on him, the scales fell off of his eyes, and he realized how great God has been to him, and he preached God's word, and he was able to tell people just about the goodness of God unapologetically. And as we go into the new year, I say stand on that. Stand on what you believe. Stand on these three principles, and stand on Christ Jesus.